Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Welcome, Drew and Emma Davies. This is delightful, talking to two fellow Australians in America.
It's good to be on here, Pastor Phil.
G'day, g'day. I haven't g'dayed in a while.
Right, oi, oi, oi. And it's a family event with you guys planning a church in Seattle with Georgia, Jack, and Bennett.
Yes.
And you have done the impossible. You've planted a church in what, December 2020?
As I remember, a little earlier than that, around, it was like the last weekend of October of 2020 was our first Sunday pre-launch service.
It's all a little bit fuzzy, COVID timing, you know.
If I recall correctly, something happened just around about that time. It kind of affected the planet. And
did you notice that too?
You guys are good with your timing, aren't you? You know, like, let's go start a church, boom, and then COVID is. So how was all that?
Oh, it's been wild. It's hard to even know where to start. We move from San Diego to Seattle 1 week before lockdown hits. So we're in a new city where we don't know anybody, haven't got schools for our kids yet, and haven't even got a place to live yet. We're trying to find a house, find a school, you know, get things going with church pretty quickly. We didn't want to wait too long to get that going. But we're doing this in the middle of a lockdown. And at that point too, especially, it was very much like so much uncertainty of what was going to happen. So we found ourselves in the first of very many pivots, as most people would have said, over the last 2 years. But it's been wild. It's been fun. I think God's building his church. We're just crazy enough to sign up for it. But I think at the end of the day, we're just trying to continue putting our hand to the plow.
Yeah.
Building team, having fun.
One thing that's kind of unique to where we moved, actually COVID itself started in Kirkland where we are. So we were coming right to kind of like the epicenter of where this began, at least in the US. So
not only are you good with timing, you're really good with location as well.
You know, right. Someone's right. Got to do it. But this is what was really cool about our story and jumping to the end. Like, it's just been a story of God's faithfulness. But we just kind of had to get to this moment when we got here. Like, okay, so we had actually had previous experience of pioneering a church before. So sometimes when you've done things before, you can kind of maybe rest on past experience. But here we are with the same kind of mission, but in a very different conditions to do it. So what I really love about it is we pretty quickly got down to, okay, well, what do we know how to do? We know how to trust God. We know how to not give up, and we know how to pray. And it was those three things that got us through. And I'm actually really glad that at the beginning of the story, that's what our story kind of was birthed out of, just those three things. And that's actually all you need to actually, you know, be part
this
of a
so
God.
Amazing.
Those things.
So amazing. I mean, it's one of the greatest acts of faith to go out and give birth to something when others of that are dying. You know, like you think of Moses' parents who went ahead and said, let's have a baby, even though there was an edict by the king at the time to kill all the babies. And so they said, in the middle of it all, let's just go ahead. And I think if you wait for perfect conditions, you never get anything done, which is a scripture. And so that's why I wrote that book, Do It Now, because I think if you keep putting off life off until it's perfect, you just never get started. And one of the great things that I've seen in our movement is that I think in that year that you started 17 churches, we planted 17 new churches. And I haven't yet got the figures for this year, for last year, 21, but it will be even more than that, I think, because people really are saying, we're not going to let this thing stop us from doing that. And that determination and that boldness, they're going to not just get you going, but keep you going and expanding in all kinds of ways. That night I was with you, I was so impressed with your church. You had nearly 500 people there. And that's amazing at the end of this. And your city, Seattle, is one of those that really is into the lockdown culture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I mean, for anyone who's listening to this, maybe outside of the United States, the USA is, it's very different state by state on what COVID even looks like based on government and different policies and whatnot. So we're definitely in one of the most restricted areas of the entire country. The county that we're in is one of the most restricted lockdown places.
Yeah. Actually, it's quite prophetically named, our county. It's called King County. And it's quite fascinating, actually, like the pivot point for US culture that comes out of our out of this county. It's where the, you know, Jeff Bezos, who's overseeing Amazon, it's where Bill Gates lives, all in this one little county. The two richest men in the world live, and there's lots of like headquarters of like big corporations. So it's been such a fascinating place to be around. But what I love about us is we really do say we haven't like survived COVID. We've thrived because of COVID, not despite of it. It's actually right. been one of the greatest times to build the church, because people are so hungry, and we have right. what they're hungry for freedom, for like freedom in Christ, and for, you know, a connection with each other. Like all the things that we have as Christians is what people need right now. So it was actually God's timing was perfect, because it was a city crying out for it, and we were able to bring them into a place to encounter God. And so it's been really cool.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you, you know, and faith is such a message for right now. I mean, I've written that book on disciple recently, which is also important, but I'm just everywhere I've been speaking recently, I've felt the urge to speak on faith and to encourage people to believe God, because even though we can analyze all the data for church planting, we can analyze the marketplace and think this is going to work, or why didn't this church work, and why is this church not growing, and this isn't happening. Looking at all the natural things, it's important, but at the end of the day, if you don't believe anything's going to happen, and if you're using data to reinforce that doubt, it's really going to be a very vicious circle that's going to spiral downwards. But once you start believing God in spite of your difficulties, and that's always what faith is, it's the need to believe when it's very hard to, when all the evidence is pointing against what you believe. And that's when you really need to switch on faith. That's when you need faith. You don't need faith when things are going easily and well for you, but you need faith when things are extremely difficult. And it's to that faith that the power of God travels and all sorts of amazing things start to happen for you. And that's like what you guys have got. You got that Aussie pioneering, bold, gutsy, you know, let's just go ahead and do it. That's faith. And I think that is something that will keep people's head together, heart together, as they face these really high-pressured moments.
Absolutely. 100% agree. And I think, you know, to draw the positives of what this last season's been, I think it's really been a strengthening of the church. It's really caused perhaps a culture that has treated church like a much more consumeristic product, or a thing that, you know, everyone, as soon as church is shut down, all of a sudden everyone is upset about it. And they're like, well, why are churches being shut down? And they're like, well, you only came to church like once every 6 weeks before COVID. And so now it's like, now that you can't have it, now there's this like, oh, actually I do really miss it. I really want to actually have a longing for community. I have a longing for discipleship. I don't want to just sit at home and have to watch online every single week. Nothing wrong with that necessarily. And sometimes there are times where we had to do that. But I think this has been such a refining moment for the church to rise and say, more than ever before, we need to double down on the Great Commission. We need to double down on discipleship.
Amen.
We can't build our churches on some of the things we may have built them on in the past. We have to build on the power of God and the Holy Spirit and things that you can't get necessarily through an online experience. I think there's certain things that people have really realized they've missed because that's been taken away from them.
Right. Let's talk about that. Go ahead, Emma. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yes, it's been probably really strengthening for the Big C Church and the sheep, but actually for us as shepherds, it's been really strengthening for us. I think I even mentioned it at our US gathering recently. I think for me, this season has really taught me what the real wins are. Having done church for a long time, I think the win can be convoluted to something that you can see or equate or a data that you can, you know, put on a spreadsheet. But for me, like, I considered it a win. I said this, like, the three wins for me, am I still saved? And I'm not saying that actually flippantly, like, is this still like a revelation? Like, am I still in love with the word of God, love with his house? Like, out of that place, am I still smiling? That's a big one. Is the joy of the Lord?
It is a big one.
Still my and am I still sane? Am I able in this hour where a lot of people are losing their sanity? Again, not flippantly, but finding it hard to keep a clear mind and a clear peace in them. Like, if I can do all those three things, and that's a win, and out of the overflow of that, we can advance. So I think for me, I've felt really strengthened in this, and just really recognizing that for me, she's a bride, the church, not a mistress, and I will fight everything in me to keep it going and keep it thriving. And so I'm really thankful for this season.
Great. Smiling, saved, and sane.
That's it. They're my wins.
Great. I love it. Okay, so let's just drill down a little on the what you're talking about, Drew, the comparison between online and physical in-person gathering. Because and what you think are the greater advantages of what you were saying there anyway, yeah, as I understand it, of actually coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's certainly advantages of being online. There's like, we have an online service for folks who are out of town or who are sick, and that's served us really well. But I think even talking with someone recently who kind of compared Blockbuster to Netflix, saying, well, you know, Blockbuster, you know, was a thing, but then times evolved and then, you know, Netflix came along and took the market. And it sounds like a really good argument, but I guess my thought would be, well, that would actually be a good argument if you take away the elements that are in service, like Holy Spirit, youth ministry, kids, things that aren't achieved online, if you took all those subsections out of the Blockbuster store, it's almost like saying, oh, here's Blockbuster, but what's going to translate to Netflix? We're going to take away the supernatural section, we're going to take away the kids section, the youth section, we're going to take away the power of God section, and all you're left really with then is just a sermon. And you know, we take away the worship, because I think we've talked about it, Pastor Phil, had, you know, people don't typically worship online when it's just two people in their underwear at home. So we take away all those sections of Blockbuster, and Blockbuster wouldn't have become Netflix if it had translated across a small fraction of what Blockbuster was. Right. So there's so many things that I think we just miss, even the community element. So we've just found that really doubling down, and not to minimize the word of God, but we've actually found ourselves more in this season telling our church, hey, just so you guys know, like, preaching's awesome, but preaching's just one person's interpretation of the word of God. Like, you've got to read the Bible yourself. You know, you should come to church somewhat fed and not starving, eating once a week. And I think as we've said that, people have kind of woken up a little bit to the fact that, oh, wow, church is not just about me showing up, you know, halfway through the service, hearing half the sermon, and then going home and then coming back 3 weeks later. I think we've seen a rising of people who want to be church builders, not church consumers. And that's one thing we've leaned into heavily here in this time of, like, this is a wild time. We're like, let's just build a really great team. And if the only people that come to church are our team, then that's fine. But that's when we started our services. That's all we want it to be. We said, we've got 100-ish people on our team. Let's just gather them and let's just do service for our team. And if no one else comes, that's fine. But more and more people came, and then more people joined the team. And we realized that people are actually really hungry to be involved, to have something expected of them and to be part of something.
Can you just say the thing which I think is so beautiful that you say, like, pre-COVID, people were gathering around a message, mm-hmm. that whole thing? I think that's really profound.
Oh, thanks, honey. It's really, what
look
a compliment.
At me. Here we go.
What a compliment. I feel so good about myself. And look, it's just a theory. I don't know how accurate this is. Maybe I'll regret saying it one day, but I would wonder if perhaps pre-COVID churches leaned maybe a little too heavy on gathering around a man of God with a message. And now post-COVID church may lean more towards gathering around the message with a mission. And that's probably one of my biggest takeaways that I've found through COVID, and we've really talked to a lot with our team about, is just dismantling this model of church, which is all built on one person bringing a great message 50 Sundays of the year, and that's the rising or the falling of that church is based on that one person. So we've actually found people really responding well to that idea. Even the folks that are like, I'm so not used to, you know, Pastor Drew, why don't you preach every week? It's like, well, that's not the kind of church we want to build. We don't want to build a church on us. want to build a church on the word of God and the mission of the word of God, and getting a great team together who are willing, ready to let's go get out there. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. It's not saying that the great preachers are few, the workers.
I agree. I think whatever we've got, it's for giving away. And if I've got anything, it's not for me to just have it. It's for me to actually keep giving it away. So if I've got a pulpit, then it's not just for me to use, that's for me to give it away. If I've got authority, if I've got healing, if I've got any gifts at all, they're not just to use, they're actually to give away. Like Jesus gave the whole lot away, everything that he had, he gave it to his disciples. And I think that's part of what church life has to be, so that we're not man-centric or message-centric. We're actually got Jesus at the center and people are being empowered or every week. But I do think, you know, my argument for the in-person gathering is I believe it's biblical. I believe it's stronger and more cohesive. I think we all feel emotionally better and bond better together, physically present, than we do online. I think we think better together when we're actually physically present. There is something that happens that's very spiritual in the invisible world, where we connect with one another. And I think just touch is so important, even though we've all been, you know, that's been dialed down to a degree with elbow bumping and not so much hugging and what have you. But touch is extremely important to human beings. Jesus said, look, you'll heal people when you just put your hand on them. There's healing in touching one another, you know, and obviously appropriately and properly.
And I think you got to say that these days.
Say it.
I know, which is unfortunate.
It's for a reason.
And the last thing, aside from the worshiping together, that feeling is incredible. But the last thing is altar calls. It's online altar calls just do not have what an in-person in church service has, when people go to that altar and they can be down there for 10, 15, 20 minutes doing business with God, getting wrecked before the Lord. Yeah. And in those minutes, more is accomplished than thousands of hours of other kind of processes and treatments or whatever, because an encounter with God on that altar is phenomenal. And I believe that churches are altars. I don't think they're just buildings with seats in them. I think they're pieces of land on the planet that are sacred, where God is going to meet with people and touch their lives. And I have no doubt, like over the years, the wars that we've had trying to get buildings tell me that there is something way more significant about putting up a building and getting the finances for it, because there's so much warfare surrounding it. And we are creating places where God meets with people on planet Earth. So I'm right into the great return, people coming back to church.
I love that.
In Seattle, Hope Village especially.
Amen to that. You know, one of the greatest things I ever caught off you, Pastor Phil, and if you remember, it was years ago, you did a message on atmospheres, how God moves in atmospheres. And I think that kind of goes along with this conversation. I think it's very hard for atmosphere to translate across technology. And I just think about some of the best things, the biggest growth moments in my life have been caught more than taught. And it's just hard to catch something off your couch. But when you're in that thick presence of God, like being around, watching how, you know, couples model doing church together and life together, you model how conflict's done, like that's where I caught most of what's helped me in my Christian life. And that's really hard to do from your couch, a long way away from everybody.
That's so awesome. Yeah, because there's body language, there's incidental things that are far more. The message on a Sunday and the worship occupy maybe a third of the impressions and the molding influences that you're having, you know, take place on your life. So I encourage people everywhere. If you can get back, be involved in the great return in Jesus' name. What's the future for the Davies?
Good question, Pastor Phil. You know, we have been in three or four different locations over the last 14 months of running church. We are we're in a good location now, still portable. We're definitely full speed ahead, looking for a permanent building. Our vision is to be multi-site, and we love that. We've seen that model really well in San Diego, and we're gonna do that up here to reach the city. So for us though, this next 6 months, we're switching triple down really on
hyper focusing on
discipleship. So we're starting four groups actually that are going to meet once a month each, and there's about 20 people in each group, and we're going to disciple 80 or 90 people more intentionally over the next 6 months. That's one thing we've felt to do with our leaders. We've got about probably 70 of those are small group leaders, then the rest are people that we see becoming small group leaders. So that's how a short-term focus would be, really doubling down on that, focusing on that, right, and then getting a building. That would be the next thing we've really got to do, take some time.
I would say long-term focus, actually one of the best questions I think we were asked. It was one of the first questions we got asked planting this church, like, what does success look like for you as church planters? And I always loved your response. So for the long-term answer is, do you want to answer that? What is it looking like for us long-term?
Yeah, I think for us, the long-term success looks like 20 years from now, 30 years from now, maybe 40 years from now, when we're hanging out on our back porch, big long table, hopefully the view of Lake Washington. looking down a big long table, and that's filled with a great team of people that we've discipled and raised up in house, and we've, you know, planted churches all over the city and maybe even beyond, and just building a really great team of people that, like I said before, know how to preach the word of God, know how to teach the word of God. They're leading strong locations of Hope Village, and we're making a dent on the city, and people get raised up to, you know, step into big spheres of culture and business and education and
government
and all those things, yes, that we feel really encouraged to shift up here. So I guess that would be the long-term vision, would be a church not built on us, but built on that idea of the big long table 40 years from now, and how That's great awesome. That team's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've found is that if we stay focused on building the church that Jesus called us to do, then incidentally, individuals will get involved in exactly all those areas that you are speaking about. We've had high-level education people emerge from our, in fact, the Minister of Education in Australia was a member of our church for many years. And politicians, the Premier of New South Wales had his children in our school. And we've found ourselves with influences in our church as part of our congregation, rather than us adopting that as our mandate. Our mandate is to build the church. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important. I think the limitation on the church has been insecure leaders who have not let these kind of people rise because they're strong and they're influential, and it, for whatever reason, impinges on that leader's ego maybe, or, you know, kudos. And so in the past, there wasn't any strong women's ministry in the church because if a strong woman rose, the pastor felt threatened and insecure, and strong businessmen rose. Yeah, no, you can't do anything around here. I mean, I'm the guy. And strong youth ministry rise, strong men's ministry rise, all these sorts of things. But all of those ministries, rather than jumping over the wall of the church and becoming para ministries out there, they should actually be fostered within the church. So being able to celebrate, encourage, and congratulate these people as they grow and minister, as long as they're not dividing and creating, you know, schisms. And they don't have to be. Once people feel celebrated, they're quite humble to accept, yeah, I just want to fit in, and what I'm doing, I want it to grow the church and to keep us moving forward. And I think that's a really great thing. And to your point about discipling, it's not until people are doing those things that you can actually disciple them, because you've got no context to bounce back at them and say, hey, you know, the way you're doing that could be done a little better like this or whatever. And I think that to keep that discipling culture active in any church is essential for it to have any future. And I see an incredible future for you guys. Dave is going to have deeper and deeper influence without any shadow of a doubt. Your faith is going to be rewarded. You're not going to just survive all this stuff. You will definitely thrive in Jesus' name. That's my little bit of preaching.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we love you guys. And thanks for being on the podcast this week, and looking forward to hearing incredible things about your future in Jesus' name. See you now.
Thanks
so much for having us.
Such an honor to be on here, Pastor Phil. We love you guys, and send our love to Pastor Chris too.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.